A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists in their own words. On Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Scientist number 39, quote, "Why did the IPCC so quickly and uncritically accept the hockey stick? Because they wanted to believe it." Closed quote. Dr. Roy Spencer, Ph.D., Principal Research Scientist at the University of Alabama in Huntsville and U.S. Science Team Leader for the Advanced Microwave Scanning Radiometer on NASA's Aqua Satellite. Recipient with John Christie of the Exceptional Scientific Achievement Award from NASA and the American Meteorological Society Special Award for his work in satellite-based temperature monitoring. Formerly Senior Scientist for Climate Studies at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center. Mark, so if we have no way of knowing how cold or warm the globe actually got, how did the IPCC know it's hotter than it's been for 1,000 years? On January 27, 2005, Dr. Spencer wrote, quote, "As you might imagine, it's a little difficult to construct a temperature history for a period of record that, for the most part, had no reliable thermometer measurements. Since good thermometer measurements extend back to only around the mid-1800s, quote-unquote proxy measurements, primarily tree ring data, have been used to extend the temperature record back additional centuries. The claim of unprecedented warmth and the hockey stick shape appear to hinge on the treatment of one species of tree, the bristlecone pine, from North America in the 1400s. Further statistical tests showed that this critical signal in the early 15th century lacked statistical significance. This suggests that the results of Mann et al. Were simply a statistical fluke, which greatly exaggerated a characteristic of the bristlecone pines, which may, or may not, be related to global temperatures." The original Mann et al. Article has had huge repercussions. The hockey stick, along with the warmest in 1,000 years argument, has become a central theme of debates over the Kyoto Protocol, a treaty to limit emissions of greenhouse gases in governments around the world. The question begging to be answered is, why did the IPCC so quickly and uncritically accept the Mann et al. Hockey stick analysis when it first appeared? I cannot help but conclude that it's because they wanted to believe it. Closed quote. Dr. Spencer pointed out what should have been obvious, that the hockey stick had never been subjected to one of the most basic tests of science. Quote, "Unusual claims in science should be met with unusual skepticism, and this did not happen with the Mann et al. Study. An increasing number of researchers have anecdotal evidence that the science tabloids Nature and Science select reviewers of some manuscripts based on whether they want those papers to be accepted or rejected. In other words, it seems like the conclusions of a paper are sometimes more important than the scientific basis for those conclusions. Since those periodicals have profit and popularity motives that normal scientific journals do not, maybe the time has come to downgrade the scientific weight of publications in those journals, at least for some purposes. It will be interesting to see if the IPCC and its member countries continue to rally around the hockey stick or discard it." Close quote. Scientist number 40, quote, "Environment Canada and others continue to use this graph as if it were still valid. It is not." Close quote. Dr. Tim Patterson, Ph.D., professor of geology at Carleton University's Department of Earth Sciences and international fellow in the School of Geography, Archaeology, and Paleoecology at Queen's University, Belfast. Chairman of the International Climate Science Coalition. Former Canadian leader of the International Geological Correlation Program. Former associate editor of the Journal of Foraminiferal Research and of Micropaleontology, and founding editor of Paleontologia Electronica. Mark, discarding the hockey stick, as Dr. Spencer put it, was easier said than done. The activists and the politicians and the bureaucrats loved it. On February 10, 2005, Professor Patterson gave evidence to the Standing Committee on Environment and Sustainable Development of the Canadian House of Commons and said this about Mann's iconic graph. Quote, "The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, used this study as a major prop. Now that prop is gone. Yet Environment Canada and others continue to use this graph as if it were still valid. It is not. The blue line is one of the primary pieces of evidence used by the IPCC to promote the idea that the 20th century warming was unprecedented in the past millennium. This line has become known as the hockey stick. The shaft of the stick is the supposedly relatively lower temperatures for the first 900 years of the period, and the blade of the stick is the reputed sudden temperature rise of the past century. The red line is in Figure 1, is the result you get when the data and the methodology used to produce the hockey stick are applied correctly. As you can see, there's an enormous difference between the two curves prior to about 1500 AD. If Canada's government is to base climate policy on real science, then it must accept that its policy decisions should be changeable as climate science advances. Otherwise, policy becomes disconnected from science, and we may waste billions of dollars going in entirely the wrong direction. Until we have a far better understanding of the underlying science, the government should cancel funding allocated to stopping climate change, which is ridiculous. The only constant about climate is change. Instead, we should be preparing for whatever nature throws at us next, as well as continuing to fund research that will help us to eventually understand our planet's complex climate system. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I look forward to answering any questions you may have." Close quote. Mark. But weaning governments and bureaucracies off Mann's invalid graph was easier said than done. As far as the hockey stick was concerned, the science wasn't just settled, it was frozen. In place. Chapter 5. Man of Integrity. The Abolition of Uncertainty. Quote, "Be wary of any science that loathes statistics or resents external investigation. That's the start of rot." Close quote. Dr. Barry Cook, Ph.D. Email to Dr. Marianne Newton of Cornell University's Weiner Laboratory for Aegean and Near Eastern Dendrochronology at Cornell University, 2006. Mark. For the first few years, everything went swimmingly, and then the hockey stick caught the eye of a mining engineer fiendishly good at statistics. The rap on Stephen McIntyre is that he's, quote, "not a climate scientist," unquote. As Dr. Lars Kamel observes mordantly, quote, "In the infected science of climate research, this may be an advantage rather than a disadvantage." Close quote. Besides, Mr. McIntyre is a citizen and taxpayer of Canada, and Her Majesty's government in Ottawa is proposing to alter significantly the economic landscape of the nation by signing up to Kyoto. In free societies, the people bear the ultimate responsibility for public policy, and when that policy is being determined by what purports to be, quote-unquote, science, they certainly have the right to examine that science, especially when, as with the hockey stick, the science is promoted largely because of its potential public policy impact. Nevertheless, one shares the concern of the climate science peer review fetishist that it should require two Torontonian dilettantes to speak truth to hockey stick power. Where was everybody else? As we shall see, the doubts, suspicions, and even specific criticisms of McIntyre and McKittrick were shared by many of Mann's closest colleagues. As Dr. David Rind put it, quote, "When something is uncertain, we should say it. I know uncertainty lies in the eyes of the beholder, but I think it will also be found in the eyes of the reviewers. And here I would suggest a democratic approach. Let's not use one person's dogmatic view, but by quoting what the community thinks, as in the case of solar forcing, let the uncertainty be made apparent." Mann and the hockey team were in no mood for that, so one person's dogmatic view prevailed. Yet, From the earliest days, even core members of the hockey team never subscribed to man's grotesque simplification. That medieval warm period he got rid of? Ask Professor Keith Briffa. Quote, I believe that the recent warmth was probably matched about 1,000 years ago. I do not believe that global mean annual temperatures have simply cooled progressively over thousands of years, as Mike appears to. Close quote. Briffa, like most of man's early collaborators, was older and more experienced. But his quote-unquote uncertainties about the hockey stick's central conclusions counted for naught in the face of the younger man's sudden eminence. An even closer colleague and co-author of man's first two hockey sticks, Malcolm Bradley, was also concerned about quote-unquote uncertainties. Quote, all of our attempts so far to estimate hemisphere-scale temperatures for the period around 1,000 years ago are based on far fewer data than any of us would like. None of the data sets used so far has anything like the geographical distribution that experience with recent centuries indicates we need. And no one has yet found a convincing way of validating the lower frequency components of them against independent data. As Ed wrote, in the tree ring records that form the backbone of most of the published estimates, the problem of poor replication near the beginnings of records is particularly acute and ubiquitous. I would suggest that this problem probably cuts in closer to 1600 than 1400 in the several published series. Therefore, I accept that everything we are doing is preliminary and should be treated with considerable caution. Close quote. Mark. Man didn't need these complications and wasn't interested in them. The point of his work was to bolster the IPCC's takeaway. This is the hottest year of the hottest decade of the hottest century since centuries were invented, and he didn't want any dithering about quote-unquote uncertainties getting in the way. Instead, what got in the way were Steve McIntyre and Ross McKittrick. In the ClimateGate correspondence, the obsession with the dogged but affable and unfailingly polite McIntyre is bizarre. If that is man at all had been confident in their science. Mr. McIntyre lives in the same Toronto neighborhood as Rachel McAdams, co-star of Mean Girls, and a whiff of high school mean girliness permeates the East Anglia emails. McIntyre wants to bust into the Cool Girls Club, but they think his weird obsession with PCA and stuff is so not fetch. Other parties were less dismissive. On its face, the McIntyre and McKittrick case had merit, and at the senior levels of the big climate bureaucracy, both scientific and governmental, key figures demanded to know from the climatologist whether man had got it wrong. The answers were revealing, if only they'd thought to share them with us. And so Dr. Barry Cook was right. Man's resentment and obstruction of external investigation was indeed, quote-unquote, the start of rot. For climate science, and beyond. Scientist number 41, quote, I don't think they are scientifically inadequate or stupid. I think they are dishonest. Close quote. Dr. Eugene I. Gordon, Ph.D., physicist and former director of the Lightwaves Devices Laboratory of Bell Labs, fellow of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, and recipient of its Edison Medal and Vladimir K. Zworykin Award. Founder of the IEEE Quantum Electronics Council and the Journal of Quantum Electronics. Inventor of the continuous argon ion laser. Member of the National Academy of Engineering. Mark. Climate science decided to take a wild ride on the hockey stick, and for a while it worked. But it was never likely that a hitherto obscure researcher could, quote-unquote, repeal the medieval warm period, and indeed the very concept of natural variability, and that somebody, someday, wouldn't be sufficiently curious as to try to figure out how he did it. When the questions began, the core, quote-unquote, climate community made the worst decision in its relatively brief history and decided to dig in. Since then, the broader realm of science has been divided over whether the hockey team were simply foolish and insecure, or not very good at their jobs, or duplicitous skunks. Dr. Gordon was in no doubt where he came down. On October 4, 2009, a few weeks before the ClimateGate leaks, he received an email from Alan White detailing more shenanigans around what he called the hokey hockey sticks. Dr. Gordon replied, quote, Alan, thanks for the extensive and detailed email. This is terrible, but not surprising. Obviously, I do not know what gives with these guys. However, I have my own suspicions and hypothesis. I don't think they are scientifically inadequate or stupid. I think they are dishonest, and members of a club that has much to gain by practicing and perpetuating global warming scare tactics. That is not to say that global warming is not occurring to some extent, since it would be even without CO2 emissions. The CO2 emissions only accelerate the warming, and there are other factors controlling climate. As a result, the entire process may be going slower than the powers that be would like. Hence, I postulate, the global warming contingent has substantial motivation to be dishonest or seriously biased, and to be loyal to their equally dishonest club members. Among the motivations are increased and continued grant funding, university advancement, job advancement, profits, and payoffs from carbon control advocates such as Gore, being in the limelight, and other motivating factors I am too inexperienced to identify. Alan, this is nothing new. Humans are hardly perfect creations. I am never surprised at what they can do. I am perpetually grateful for those who are honest and fair, and thankfully, there is a goodly share of those. Jean, close quote. Mark, one can have different views on whether Mann and his colleagues were, quote-unquote, scientifically inadequate or stupid, or simply, quote-unquote, dishonest. But from the first attempt by outsiders to replicate the stick, they are obstructive and abusive to a degree rarely seen in science. Scientist number 42, quote, you're on very dodgy ground with this long-term decline in temperatures, close quote. Professor Phil Jones, Ph.D., director of the Climatic Research Unit and professor in the School of Environmental Sciences at the University of East Anglia, fellow of the American Meteorological Society and the American Geophysical Union, member of the Editorial Board of Climatic Change and formerly of the International Journal of Climatology, recipient of the Royal Meteorological Society's Mill Prize, the World Meteorological Organization's Norbert Gerbier MUM International Award, and the European Geosciences Union's Oscar Medal. Mark. Professor Jones was, next to Mann, the key figure in the ClimateGate emails, in his role as Mann's closest ally at the Climatic Research Unit. But the two men weren't always that amicable. On May 6, 1999, Professor Jones wrote to Michael E. Mann, noting that, quote, you seem quite pissed off with us all in CRU, close quote, and complaining that Mann had gone behind their backs, quote, slagging us all off to science, close quote. This is presumably a mistyping of the British vernacular slagging us off, i.e., bad-mouthing someone. Jones then adds, quote, Keith Briffa didn't mention in his science piece, but both of us think that you're on very dodgy ground with this long-term decline in temperatures on the 1,000-year timescale. What the real world has done over the last 6,000 years, and what it ought to have done given our understanding of Milankovic forcing, are two very different things. I don't think the world was much warmer 6,000 years ago, in a global sense compared to the average of the last 1,000 years. But this is my opinion, and I may change it given more evidence. 2. The errors don't include all the possible factors. Even though the tree ring chronologies used have robust R-bar statistics for the whole 1,000 years, i.e. they lose nothing because core numbers stay high throughout, they have lost low frequency because of standardization. We've all tried with RCS / very stiff splines / hardly any detrending to keep this to a minimum. But until we know it is minimal, it is still worth mentioning. It is better we, I mean all of us here, put the caveats in ourselves and let others put them in for us. Close quote. Mark. But in Manworld, caveats were subordinate to what he called the cause. Once you've abolished the concept of natural variability, is it really so difficult to then abolish the concept of uncertainty? Under the hockey stick regime, certainty was the order of the day, even if, behind the scenes, some of Mann's hockey team were extremely uncertain of what he was doing and what they were going along with. Post-Climategate, a chastened Jones was asked by the BBC why scientists keep insisting that the debate on climate change is over. Quote, "I don't believe the vast majority of climate scientists think this. This is not my view. There is still much that needs to be undertaken to reduce uncertainties." Closed quote. Footnote. Milankovitch-Forcing is the impact on climate of variations in the tilt of the Earth's axis and shape of the orbit, which change the amount of sunlight that reaches us down here. Quote-unquote forcing is climate speak for any physical process that affects the climate. Scientist number 43, quote, "I am sick to death of man," close quote. Professor Keith Briffa, Ph.D., emeritus professor and former deputy director of the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia, lead author of Chapter 6, Paleoclimatology, of Working Group 1 of the IPCC's Fourth Assessment Report, 2007, former associate editor of Boreas, Dendrochronologia, and Holocene. Mark. Keith Briffa is one of many believers in global warming who got mixed up with Michael E. Mann in the wake of his meteoric rise and came to regret it. In the report by NOAA, the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that Mann falsely claims, quote-unquote, exonerates him, Professor Briffa is quoted as warning a fellow scientist not to let Mike push you, us, beyond where we know is right. Briffa knew whereof he spoke. Pushing people beyond where he knows is right is what Michael Mann has done all his life. On June 17, 2002, Briffa emailed Dr. Edward Cook at the Tree Ring Laboratory of the Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory in response to a recently published letter by Mann. Quote, "I have just read this letter, and I think it is crap. I'm sick to death of Mann stating his reconstruction represents the tropical area just because it contains a few poorly temperature-representative tropical series. He is just as capable of regressing these data again and any other target series, such as the increasing trend of self-opinionated verbiage he has produced over the last few years, and..." Better say no more. Keith. Closed quote. Mark. That statement's as contemptuous of his colleague as anything by any big-time denier. As Professor Briffa sees it, the real hockey stick is the rise in man's, quote-unquote, self-opinionated verbiage. Dr. Cook replied, quote, "Of course, I agree with you. We both know the probable flaws in Mike's recon, particularly as it relates to the tropical stuff. Your response is also why I chose not to read the published version of his letter. It would be too aggravating. The only way to deal with this whole issue is to show in a detailed study that his estimates are clearly deficient in multi-centennial power, something that you actually did in your perspectives piece, even if it was not clearly stated because of editorial cuts. It is puzzling to me that a guy as bright as Mike would be so unwilling to evaluate his own work a bit more objectively." Close quote. Mark. As sick to death of man as he was in 2002, Professor Briffa would grow a lot sicker of him in the years ahead, before, weary of getting pushed around by man, beyond where we know is right, he began pushing back. His recent papers, for example, have rediscovered the medieval warm period that the hockey stick supposedly abolished. Nevertheless, when you read the ClimateGate emails, Briffa and his CRU colleagues in East Anglia sound like battered wives, reeling from the latest slap, but unable to bring themselves to walk out. Scientist number 44. Quote, "Mike is defending something that increasingly cannot be defended." Close quote. Professor Edward R. Cook, Ph.D. Ewing Lamont, research professor and director of the Tree Ring Research Laboratory at Columbia University's Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory. Fellow of the American Geophysical Union. Mark. The least contentious part of man's thousand-year reconstruction is the latter half millennium. Long before he was born, it was received wisdom that there was a little ice age followed by a return to warmer temperatures. But the early centuries were a more controversial business, and in private at least, even his closest colleagues were not happy with it. On April 3, 2002, Professor Cook wrote to Professor Tim Osborne in East Anglia, re-problems with the pre-1400 part of man's work. Quote, "Hi, Tim. I will be sure not to bring this up to Mike. As you know, he thinks that CRU is out to get him in some sense. So a very carefully worded and described bit by you and Keith will be important. I am afraid that Mike is defending something that increasingly cannot be defended. He is investing too much personal stuff in this and not letting the science move ahead. I am afraid that he is losing out in the process. That is too bad. Cheers, Ed." Close quote. A year later, September 3, 2003, Professor Cook wrote to Keith Briffa proposing a new paper. Quote, "Hi, Keith. After the meeting in Norway where I presented the ESPER stuff as described in the extended abstract I sent you, and hearing Bradley's follow-up talk on how everybody but him has fucked up in reconstructing past NH temperatures over the past 1,000 years, this is a bit of an overstatement on my part, I must admit, but his air of papal infallibility is really quite nauseating at times. I have come up with an idea that I want you to be involved in. Consider the tentative title. Northern Hemisphere Temperatures Over the Past Millennium. Where are the greatest uncertainties? Question mark. Authors: Cook, Briffa, Esper, Osborne, Dorigo, Bradley, question mark, Jones, question mark, Mann, infinite, question mark. I am afraid that Mike and Phil are too personally invested in things now, i.e. the 2003 GRL paper that is probably the worst paper Phil has ever been involved in. Bradley hates it as well. But I am willing to offer to include them if they can contribute without just defending their past work. This is the key to having anyone involved. Be honest. Lay it all out on the table and don't start by assuming that any reconstruction is better than any other." Closed quote. Needless to say, nothing came of that idea.